I love that one where he's saying in Alaska, that's so awesome. That he thinks we're beautiful. Isn't that awesome? Well, we're going to look at the seals. We're going to go through all of them tonight. Now, we read through them briefly the first night, and then we lingered on one, and just touched on two. Tonight, we're going to just go 1 through 7, a little bit quicker, and it's an overview, and look at some details that help us get to turn through. I know it seems like we're going slow, and we're going over the seals like again and again, but it kind of brainwashes us into seeing the order of things. Because as we go on, we're going to fill in details, and they fit into the same events. But like when we saw the seals, but we didn't see the abomination of desolation. Then we read somewhere else, and we saw that, and we could see where it fit among the seals. So we're beginning to fit pieces together. So we just ask you, Lord, that you will open your word to us tonight. Give us wisdom beyond what we can possibly hope to understand about human minds. God, this is beyond us. It takes your spirit to understand your word. And we're asking you that you would capture our thoughts, that you would just open up the realm of heaven and just breathe life into these words that you have written for us to know in these names. Wait us up, Lord, in the spirit of God. Thank you, Jesus. So I review quickly seal 1. And I saw the lamp open one of the seals, and I heard, and it was the noise of thunder, and one of the four of you saying, come and see. And I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went from conquering into conquering. Remember him, his non-gender, all the way through these seals of review about him, and he's usually just meaning the person without a gender given to it. The white horse, again, is possibly a spirit of deception pretending to be goodness when it's really secretly evil. And we're going to seal 2, Revelation 6, 3, and 4. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and they were given unto him a great sword. So now we see the false peace is ending, and the violence is beginning in the war. The red horse, in this particular word, when I looked up the meaning, meant the color of fire, or representing fire. So we're going to be seeing that there's more fire involved in the wars that are going on. And that can make a lot of sense, because the day and age we live in right now, we're not seeing war quite as much by guns and swords as we are by bombs and nuclear and chemical, and we're seeing different types of weapons today. So now we're seeing the end of the peace and the beginning of the war. And this rider is given this great sword. The sword usually represents power, authority, the importance of the position, and an extensive influence. By being a great sword implies that it is heavier, longer, bigger. In other words, this person is given an extensive influence of its destructive power. It's not like he's just going to take out one little city. More like he's probably going to have many, many, many nations that are affected by this. I had a dream before I started studying the swords. I don't know if I shared this last week or not. I did some. But in my dream, I saw a shiny blue steel sword. And when the sun hit it just right, you see a flash of like bright, like lime green. I wasn't sure what any of that meant. At the base, there were 3 jewels. Further up the handle, there was one larger jewel. I had no idea what any of that means. But I had a feeling that it had to do with this sword. And I looked up something. Sometimes a sword today still represents witchcraft, and it's used in rituals. Even though our warriors don't go to battle with a sword, if you went to a demon worshiping service, you might find them using swords or javelins or things like that, you know, in the way that they kill the animals and things in their rituals. They're not a normal weapon today. So why are we looking at end times and we're seeing a right arm and a sword? We have to assume it's symbolic. I really don't think we're going to see the wars fought today being on horseback with literal swords. So now we're looking at symbolism. We'll see that later when we read that some of the enemy coming, they looked like horses, but that was for they looked like chariots. That was the only words they had to describe things back then. I think when we actually get to the locust, when they started describing this beast that looked like a locust, they said it was like a horse, but it had fire coming out of its mouth and its tail. Had eyes around it. That could have been lights. They didn't have headlights, taillights at the time. And it, when it fell on its sword, it didn't wound it. So in other words, even if you shot it, shot a sword at it, it didn't hurt it. And it talked about having iron and iron breastplate. So we're talking about a futuristic type vehicle that, or machine, that they had never seen. And when they said, well, I'm thinking horses come to war and they move toward me and it's doing that. So sometimes when they said horse, it wasn't really literally a horse, but they didn't know how to describe it. But anyway, this is undoubtedly symbolic that the rider has a sword. It's often a sign of demon worship or witchcraft, some kind of cult. So I looked up this false goddess who was named herself Elohim Astra, meaning goddess of the stars. She is still being worshipped today. She's been worshipped for many, many, many years in history. She was seen carrying the blue sword. And the color of blue in that cult was the feminine color of purity. She was also known as the fourth ray of purity and flame of the mother. Remember, this is a red horse coming. And this demon woman was also known as the flame of the mother in this cult. And she carried that blue sword. So the cosmic worship speaks also of a circle of fire. Now I'm not going to go into deep searching out what all these wicked, evil, cultish things mean because I don't want to get caught up in them. But it just helped convince me that this was a demonic sword, that it was representative of something evil. And then again, we think of Isis. They think that they are pure and we are infidels.
Right.
So they actually think they're purging or the infidels. And that's what this goddess said that her sword was for, to purge the earth of infidels. Now, Isis thinks that when they are killing people that are not believers of Allah, they think that they're doing him a favor by getting them free of all the evil infidels. Even when they torture people before they kill them, they think you're doing them a favor because they're going to torture you until you repent and give your life to Allah. That way when they kill you, you won't be going to hell. So they actually think the torture is a way to force you to repent. I mean, it's all evil, but it definitely matches, you know, the same type of worship that was with that woman. The blue ninja sword is a symbol in martial arts. And it's also an indication of purity in the Asian religions that have symbolic swords. I'm not saying that this writer is Asian. I'm not saying it's Isis. But I'm saying by looking at the symbolism that a sword could mean, it helps us understand why this writer is seeing the sword when we don't use swords as a weapon today. So there's just some possibility of understanding that symbolism. Okay, more seals for you on page 2. Revelation 5 and 6. Are there any comments on that first one? Any questions or comments? Yeah, but you're shaking your head.
They talk about a white horse and a red horse and a black horse. I see it maybe as vehicle for a wave or a movement or a something that's moving in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And some symbolic, say, like a horse.
Like carrying on a season of deception.
Right.
Section on a season of deception.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good. It's the demonic influence that's coming in on that horse.
Right.
That's why it's not gendered. Because it's demonic. Mm-hmm. It could be male or female. You know, I keep having thoughts that go back in as Isaiah or Daniel. I'm one of those two, I think. Where it said that there's a point in Israel where he said, your oppressors are children and your rulers are women. At the time they spoke that, women were not. The rulers and children were killed if they tried to tell, you know, be disrespectful. That was very symbolic of the time when younger people stand up and take rule and women stand up in high positions. So, and we're in that, if you see that today.
I have a quick thing. I don't know how accurate this is or if it's accurate or no. The red and white horse go together, right?
No.
First
the white and the red.
The white is deception to the killing can come in without being noticed pretty much, right?
Not necessarily. When the red horse comes, all kinds of people are being killed.
Or I saw as a white horse, a red horse, and a blue sword. Red, white, and blue, which is the color for a flag.
I like your stretch. Because, you know, we tend to want to think of everything in terms of America. Where God thought a lot, he spoke a lot in terms of Israel. Israel is the home city of God's people. So a lot of things we have to look at, what is going on in Israel. And of course, all the nations are affected. But God doesn't face everything on America like we do, you know. So, I don't think that's really symbolizing America with the white horse and the red horse, but it's interesting that you put those together. Anything else on those first two seals? Anyone want to say anything?
Time to slow down. That people talk.
We go back. Something comes to mind. Seal 3, Revelation 6, 5 and 6. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come, see. And I beheld a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And you see, though, and see, though, hurt not the oil and the wine. We could speculate that in fire, modern weaponry is used in this war, very possibly to destroy a lot of crops in the fire. Possibly they killed a lot of people who might have been farmers. So they destroyed land, maybe they killed farmers. So usually following the war, we do find how, you know, nations are left just devastated after a war. So it seems natural in that next step we would be seeing a shortage of food and famine. I don't really know why this horse is black.
You see.
Go ahead.
I'm just saying. For some reason I've seen that this happened. There is a downward progression. There's deceit and conquering people, not necessarily killing them. By conquering or overcoming them, bringing them under deception, okay? And then you have war being released, and people killing one another, peace is gone. Now that deception was a false peace. That deception is gone. Now they begin to kill one another, and they enter into war, and the one that was, you know, and that's what normally happens with swords. Killing. And then, black horse, poverty, like you were saying, and, destitution.
Yeah.
Coming in.
Depression.
Yes. And then the next one, death.
Well, can we hover on that black horse for a minute? We know that in the end days it says that earth is going to be covered in darkness and gross darkness. So this can be the beginning of that verse, darkness of the evil on the earth.
But it, everything feels black.
Right.
Because of like,
the black.
There's death, destruction, despair. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Then seal 4, Revelation 6, 7, and 8. When he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. That word pale actually is, it describes a greenish, yellowish, it kind of sounds putrid-like. You know, that's what it reminds me of, like sickness. And his name that sat on him was Death, and hell fell with him. Now Death is given capital D, and hell is given a capital H, and it literally means a figure, because I looked at those two words, and they're describing a person or a demon. They are just a place, which I just kind of struggled with that. My hell is just a place, you know? But it's almost like Death and hell are two spirits. You know, death kills you, hell pays license to take you.
Right.
So I was kind of afraid that there's two of them. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with beasts of the earth. Okay, we're seeing the sword. It could be symbolic again. It could be cultish, demonic. Hunger, we've already seen, it's still there. Death. The beast of the earth, I don't know if the wild beasts are just going to be so demonically possessed or so hungry they start coming into town and killing people for food, or whether the demonic realm is like throwing people into lions in his tent. I don't know, but this is literally animals. It is not symbolic. It means that it is wild animals. The sword in this verse is different than the sword of the red horse rider. The sword in this verse is more like a javelin, and it's described as the kind that a warrior would wear across his chest. So I'm not sure either why they changed the symbol of what kind of sword, because the other one was like huge and heavy and long, and this one is a shorter, more javelin type that a soldier would wear on his body. So I'm not quite sure why the symbolism changed, but it is a different kind of sword.
I'm just going along with what I was saying earlier. Death and hell are running rampant. They just wipe their people out, just.
God has been so merciful, even to the wicked. God has been so long suffering, not willing that any would perish. So we see the most wicked people getting away with things, we think. And we say, why hasn't God killed him? Why has God even allowed him? But he's been very long suffering. I think this one indicates that time is so near the end that people that have not met their death and punishment yet, that's closing in now. Because it's not saying good people are dying right here, because death and hell are riding together. If hell is riding with this death, then it's people that are going to hell. So I'm seeing this more as the timeline has run out for some who have sinned unto death in that lifeline. Remember how we did the lifeline? You sin, die, sin, die, repent, live, repent, live. Well, they sinned unto death, and it's time. They reached the end. And there's no more opportunity now. This is it. You know? And that's not for everyone, because we know the devil is rising up and still taking people that follow him. But there's some people that have just run out of time. Their sin is accumulated to the point that now death and hell's license has been issued, and they can be taken. Okay, seal 5 on page 3. Revelation 6, 9 through 11. And when he had opened the fifth seal, he saw under the altar the souls of men that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. I want to stop there for a minute. When we go to the trumpets, we will see that There's the first four trumpets, and then the last three have wolves with them. Now we're seeing the first four seals. Something changes now for the last three. Things are beginning to change. So now we're going to have a vision in heaven. When he had opened the seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held.
Can I interrupt you?
Yeah.
These seals. Mm-hmm. Are these first four, are they an overview of tribulation?
Actually, all six of them, overview, because by the end of six, they say the wrath of God has come. So by the end of six, we're already up to the wrath of God coming. So they're all kind of overview, but they're in sections. Okay, now we're moving to a section that it comes to, first of all, the vision in heaven. What's going on in heaven? This fifth seal opened up the heavens to see what's happening in heaven. And they cried with a loud voice saying, oh, before we go there, I believe these are people that all through history have been killed for their testimony and for the word of God. They've been there for a long time. And they cried with a loud voice saying, how long, Lord, holy and true, do you not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? I will struggle with that because God has so convinced me to forgive everyone in their hands. And now these are crying out. They want them to avenge their blood. They're not crying out, forgive them. They're crying out, revenge us. Well, vengeance belongs to God, and there is a righteousness in the end that there must be the avenging of the blood. And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be carried as they were should be fulfilled. So we see the saints are not there yet. So we know at least up until this point, through the fourth writer, the saints are not in heaven yet. So anything that we see in the first four seals will happen. We know that will happen before we get to heaven. Mm-hmm. Comment? Question? For your statement, a little running. Okay. Go ahead.
I'm thinking, I'm just wondering, I'm just believing that, so in the timeline, where do you think these four seals, are they happening up to the mid?
Well, Steve, we're about to see some real timing coming up.
Okay.
So. If you read in blue, right, named that, it says this is possibly the beginning of sufferings and a natural in the last. But when in Mark 13:7-8, Jesus said the exact same events that we've read in the first four seals. He described them and he said, this is not the end yet, but this is the beginning of sufferings. So I think what we've seen now matches what he said is the beginning of sufferings. I don't know if that's the first 3.5 years. I don't know if that's 30 years prior. But at least it's the beginning of the sufferings. Now things change on seal six. And due to the length of how long six is, because there's so much in it, I just listed the events rather than printing the entire verses, because I wanted to make it simple. So if you look, the very next thing that is happening, we see in Daniel, when we take the same events, we see in Daniel chapter 11 and 12, that first there has to be the abomination of desolation before the next things happen. Now when we're just reading through seals, we go right on to great earthquake, sun becomes black, but right before the sun becomes black and the stars fall is the desolation, the abomination of desolation. So we inserted it here by finding it in Daniel. In the same time frame. So first we have to realize Mark 13 Mark 13 also confirms for us the abomination of desolation is set up in the temple of God, and the Jews are told, when you see that happen, flee. We're also told in Mark, if you're following the arrow over there in Mark 13, we're also told that it is the sign that is followed by the great affliction. So we know that the abomination of desolation happens first, followed by the great affliction, which many men is going to do on earth. That's what we're getting ready to read with CL 6. In less bad time had been shortened, God did shorten for the last day. So we know at least at the beginning of that affliction, we will be here. Saints will be here because God actually shortens it for the saints. So they're not here for all of it. Meaning we at least know we're not going to be here for the vials, the curses of God. Will we be here for trumpets? I'm not sure. When we go through the trumpets, we're going to try to fit them into these events and see, did we just get an overview? Now the trumpets are going to give us more detail. Or are the trumpets something different? That's why I did this the way I did. I left spaces so that as we see these things again, we can put the verses, like we could go on a great earthquake and put trumpet one, and it happened during trumpet one. Or the sun becomes black, oh, there's trumpets, whatever, we can write it on that. Is it the same time it turned black, or is it another time that it turns black? As we go on, I don't want to confuse you, but I do want you to know, right here it's going to tell us the sun becomes black, the moon is like blood, and the stars fall to earth. Later we see the sun and the moon are black, and the stars fall. At one point we see a third of the sun and a third of the stars and moon. So there could be different occasions that things affect them. So we need to watch carefully on the wording. Is it another event or is it this event? But I left this space so that as we go through trumpets, we can compare these events to find out are they new or are they the same. So we do know this. The next thing that happens is the abomination of desolation. He's set up at the temple in Jerusalem, and God says, when you see that, the Jews should flee, get out of town, go into the mountains, hide out, because terrible things are going to follow. And he says, in other verses that I've been putting here, he says, when you see these things, look up for your redemption run of God. It's getting closer to the rapture now. So this is the next order of events, Revelation 6, 12 through 17. You see a great earthquake, the sun becoming black. That's confirmed in Joel 2:31. The moon will be like blood, Joel 2:31. You can see the same. If you want to study this, go to Joel and you'll see. You know, everybody likes to grab Joel 2 where it says, I will pour out my spirit on your sons and daughters, and all men will dream dreams, young men will prophesy, your daughters will prophesy. We like to go read that. We're in the last days, pour out on us. But what they don't like to read is right before it says, after these things, I will pour out my spirit. There's a whole lot of affliction that went on first. I don't read it right now, but you'll get off our track. But there's a whole lot of this stuff that is happening. What's already happened that we've already seen here with death and hell? We've already seen the fire and the attacks and the deception. We've already seen all of that happening. Now we see a great earthquake, sun becoming black, the moon is black, stars falling to earth. These things are going to happen before God pours out his spirit in the way he said it. There is going to be an anointing during this affliction time poured out on the people of God. And if we look at some of the reasons that he's letting us go through it, he says, I have left some of my people here and I've allowed them to be persecuted to make them white, to wash them in the blood. It's to complete our transformation into the image of Christ. So, you know, when these things begin happening, we draw so close to God, and nothing else in the world matters anymore, but holding on to God, being one with Him, and He's going to pour out His Spirit on us in a way that we're going to begin to walk with Him in the glory of God like never before. So right in the midst of all this horrible stuff, those that know that God will do exploits, those that know God are going to have a provision. If you read Daniel and Isaiah and Joel, you'll find that God says in the midst of all of this, He's going to give provision to us. He's going to feed us in marvelous ways. He's going to take care of us. When there's famine, we're not going to be hungry.
Right.
We're not going to starve. God's going to take care of us. He will provide. So now we see this procession of things happening here. Heaven departed as a scroll. Every mountain and island removed out of place. Men hid in dens and rocks, but the mountains too high from the face of God. Men said, the great day of God's wrath has come. Who will be able to stand? You know, we're beginning to recognize this wrath of God is coming. Now, we've kind of got the overview, because at the end of 6, we're saying the day of God's wrath has come. I don't know exactly what point in all of that that we're taking out. But then in chapter 7, it keeps on going, and we're not out yet. We are not out yet. Beginning of chapter 7, the four angels are standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds. But God says, hold on to it. Don't begin reaping yet. These are the angels that come to reap us. These are the angels that are coming for the rapture to get us. And God says, not yet. He says, hold on to them. That's confirmed in Mark and Matthew. He says, hold on. Don't overreap yet. Wait until I see them. The 144,000 in Israel, the Jewish.
Okay.
So another angel comes. Yeah.
Right. That is whenever I read this, and maybe I heard this a long time ago, but I'm thinking, is that believers are going, maybe.
You want to see them?
I'm just trying to say something. What if God took us out, but the nation of Israel turned to Him, and now this is 144,000 witnesses?
They are sealed before we came now. Because we'll find that all the way through Revelation, back in Daniel, we will find that first there is a sealing of the 144,000. Then after that, the angels are allowed to go ahead and we can take God's people out. That's the order of events. Abomination of desolation, reaping of the 100,000, sealing of the 144,000, and then the rapture. But there are things that happen in between that as we go into the trumpets. We'll find things happening also
more
details in between those events. It's like God gave us an overview, and then He gives us a bigger overview, and then He even comes back and fills in more details on that overview. So as we move on, we get way up in the teens in Revelation. Then He starts talking about when the beast is released and when the mark of the beast is up and then He takes the mark, and we find more details that's going on between these events. But we do know, in order of events, as we go through the whole book, we watch for the abomination of desolation, the sealing of the 144,000, and then the rapture. Things can happen between, but these three things are in that order. Those are definitely in that order. Isaiah, Daniel, Joel, and all through the book of Revelation, we'll find that is the order every time.
Say it again.
About the abomination of desolation, which is something set up in the temple of God in Israel, in Jerusalem. Then the sealing of the 144,000, and then the rapture. Now the angels that hold the four winds are the ones that come to get us. They're seeing, but then they have to wait until after the sealing. And then after the sealing, they come. Now they list the 12 tribes. And see, who knows how long it took them to seal the 12 tribes? There could be time right there. I mean, maybe was it in one day Jesus said, come on, 144,000? Or was there a process of winning the ones who would come to Christ? And one at a time got sealed, or, you know, as they came to Christ. Because they definitely had to come out of Judaism and believe in Christ.
Quick question. Do you think, because the sealing of the 144,000 is before the Christians are going to be taken up?
Yes.
Which could mean the Christians are staying here to help win over 144,000.
That could be. It could be. Yeah. baptized in verse 9, I heard a great multitude, no man could number, of all nations before the throne, clothed in white robes, with palms in their hands. Then we see a couple of verses of worship breaking out in heaven. And then the elder asked John, who are these in the white? Where did they come from? And John said he didn't know. And the elder said, these are they which came out of great tribulation, washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now, there are some that are going to get saved during tribulation. So they are part of that number two. And they're before the throne of God day and night, and he dwells among them. Page 5. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst. They have no need for the sun or heat, for the Lamb shall feed them and lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all their tears. But I can say there's no tears in heaven, but there are tears in heaven.
Now, this is, where's the reading on page 4?
Where did they read them? Does it tell you in seals? Doesn't say in seals. But the angels holding the four winds, you'll see that later. There's actually those angels that come with a sickle, and then immediately there's another angel that comes with a sickle who's going to read the written, you know, the end. So there's that reading also.
Where it says God will wipe their tears from their eyes, and he's talking about those that just came out of being martyred in the great tribulation. So it's more like he is like consoling them, healing them, taking away that sorrow and pain that they went through during the tribulation, more than saying like there won't be any crying.
But even other verses tell us that every one of us will stand before God and give account for everything we did in our flesh. Everything. And I think that part of our becoming more like Christ is even seeing the things we did wrong from his eyes of love. So like if there's been somebody we rejected and been cold-hearted toward, and we're standing there and he goes, here's a video of your life, and we've got his love in our heart now while we're looking at how we treated some of them, and our heart is broken when we did it. But I am truly sorry I hurt them. You know, it was a cleansing us of the things. It's not to punish us for it. It's to cleanse us of it. And it's to wipe away the tears of any shame. And maybe even to say, I comforted that person and I healed them. You know, I've had some of that kind of healing when it comes to my parents, or even my sister, of thoughts that I had. Like about what my sister thought about me, and then how I would think things back toward her, like blaming her for things, being angry with her for things, even for rejecting me, and the things that I felt. And then when God showed me her heart, when she got to heaven, and how sorry she was for those things, and then when I looked at her with his love, I didn't want to hurt her about anything. You know, it was like both of our tears were being wiped away, because there was nothing left but pure love. We were both so sorry for hurting each other, and that whole issue was now resolved, and tears could be gone, and joy could be present. So, I don't think that there's a punishment, but I think there's a whole lot of tears over our life, and there'll be great healing, and great love in placing other emotions we have in our life. And things we believe that were never true. Things we thought people thought about us, and they never even did, you know? We're gonna be seeing some truths that will set our hearts free and take away all that sorrow that's been inside of us over some of the woundedness. Anything else?
This hasn't been much to do with what we're talking about, but what has caught my attention for whatever reason is two TV shows. And one is personal interest, and one is watching
it. I've been watching it because of what it is.
Right.
But he watches it. DBJ watches everything.
What about it? Go ahead.
Well, it's like, you know, they know the government knows everything you do online. And it's almost like it's going along with the story in the Bible. You know, and then you got this other show that I don't watch. I just see it after the Zoom. zoo about animals going nuts, you know?
Yeah.
And it just makes you wonder the parallel of these movies.
Right. Has everything to do with what we're reading.
Right, exactly.
It does. I mean, you think about those animals going crazy. As demons are released on the earth, that affects some of the animals, you know, that begin getting more vicious and wild too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, person of interest, I have very much done it. And I started dreaming at night. And I was so addicted to it. I could have sat there and stayed up for midnight every night. There was some kind of spirit on it just made me want to see the next one and the next one and the next one. It was so addicted to me, I had to go watch it.
Oh.
So they watch it, and I go anywhere where I can't hear it. So I don't get sucked back in. Janaya watched it. Did you watch it, they watched it also. But I hear all that stuff about the computer and the, and some of it is just awful, stupid probably. But, you know, I just read, I don't know if you know about the Tesla cars. Anybody know about that?
What?
The self-driving cars that it's made by Tesla. But Tesla is not Tesla. They don't make the brain into it. The brain is made by someone else. And that brain is already in some of the vehicles. What do you think we're driving? That's already in some of them. Just like that, God is pursuing you, and all of a sudden your car stops working because they took it over.
Right.
You have a problem.
I just saw. Where was it? It must be on my advertisement of my email. And it's Toyota, so I can go to read it. And it said something to the effect of that they have something in the cars that if you're about to hit something or something, it'll make
the brain. That's self-driving cars.
Yeah.
That's in the self-driving cars.
And
if you have a car that learned to do that, you have the brain.
And in a parallel part for you.
In a parallel part of that.
Yeah. And that means you already have that brain, that computer, in your car. And the government could all take that. Anytime you want. Root. And you think, what if this beast is really a beast of a computer that can rule the whole world? And the real power behind it is the red dragon, which is the devil. But what if a computer is the beast? Who would worship a computer? If you watch Person of Interest, the root worships the computer.
Yeah.
Or the humans. I mean, that's just a picture of what's coming, isn't it?
It wasn't in the parallel for me.
For real, like, it's really happening.
Yeah.
Where we're going. I mean, it doesn't seem far-fetched or anything.
Well, I mean, you got the cameras on the intersections now, and,
yeah.
You know, your phone, you don't even have to, I don't know whether this is true, I'm not about technology, but I was told you don't even need a battery in your phone, and they can still find you.
That's right, because you can dial 911 on the phone without.
Not without a battery,
but without the program.
Right, just without a battery.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense.
GPS trackers can track you.
Not without a battery. You take a battery out, but see now they're making the phones where you cannot, they're not replaceable batteries.
Right.
So you can't take a battery out, yeah.
Right.
So what we need is an old flip phone or a pager. The old car. The typewriter.
Yeah.
Flip phones.
What are we going to do when technology can't be trusted, you know? I almost.
Well, it's been a couple of years ago, but I never forget it. I was in a store, and I bought something for a dollar. And the power went down, and like this girl couldn't use the computer. I said, well, it's $1.06. She said, well, how do you know?
I know they can't do simple math because they use calculators.
I guess you do that, but I went, how much sales tax is on $1? She said, 6 cents. I said, $1.06 is $1.06. She was depending so much on the computer.
There's real trouble when you're spending $5.35
She had the shoes on.
Well, and then, I lost my thought. Where, page 5, going into, CO 7 begins, I think it actually begins in the middle of 8, but there is silence in heaven for about half an hour. Nobody knows why. As far as like a literal half hour, you know, I think God says it would just be a minute.
I think if you look at what all just happened.
Yeah. I can't imagine dead silence, though. I mean, that's just, can we even be silent for 30 minutes?
30 seconds.
Hey, where's Jimmy?
Yeah.
And then at the end of that half hour, about 7 angels stood before God. Given 7 copies. Mm-hmm. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, which was given him much incense to offer with the prayers of the saints on the golden altar. And the smoke of that incense ascended up before God on the angels, because he was given much incense. How do we offer incense? We burn it. And yet, the smoke, which implies we burnt it, but it's in his hand. So this angel can hold fire in his hand. It's interesting. And he took that censer and filled it with fire at the altar and cast it to the earth. And there were voices and thunders, lightning, and an earthquake. We find the word earthquake a lot of times in Revelation. Then the 7 angels with the 7 trumpets prepared to stand. Now just, we looked at this over and over and over again, but I want to read through the overview one more time from a different book. We looked at some of Matthew, some of Mark. Let's look at the overview in Luke and see if there's anything we missed or, and nothing else. Watch the same order again. And the DJ, you want to read it? Into the light. Luke 21:9-36.
You see that? Yeah, I have to come here and get that to you. I forget where I'm going. Forget, you don't have to call it. 21:9-36. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains. And let them which are in the midst of it depart out. And let not them that are in the countries enter thereunto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, And upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads.
Hold it there a minute. You see what all just happened before he said, now look up? See all those things that happened?
And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake to them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with servitude and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that they come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man.
So I just, you know, if we ever figure out the exact time on that timeline that it's happening, we at least know all that stuff's going to happen before we get out of here. So the Lord's warning us. You see all those things happening. That it's getting close to time. But I love this one because it ends this section of study by telling us to be prepared. By warning us of what we're going to go through and telling us to be prepared and to be ready. Now don't worry about it. He'll tell you what to say and he'll be there to take care of you. It's just, I was going to be here. We may not understand this whole book when we're done, but we know we're going to go through some things that for a while.
Yes.
Questions, comments?
It's like he's trying to teach us how life lessons, you know, through the front, through the back, you know, and he's just over and over and over and trying to, you know, walk with us and tell us, and, you know, warn us and love us.
And as scary as it is, it's also exciting because there's going to be a greater outpouring of the Spirit. There's going to be more power of God, more closeness of God, more glory of God, more provision. It's like, we get to be here maybe for that final battle between God and the devil and watch happening. You know? It's exciting to know we're on the right side. Yes?
I'd like to make a point to, where it says, what we're going to
have. Yeah, you're making a good point. Come put it on the
table. It's kind of long. In verse 23 and 21, but woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land and wrath among this people. That kind of makes me think of abortions. People that are with child, it says that wrath will be upon this people. It already is, so that says how close are we?
There's also the point, the same verses, that when he's saying, you need to get out of that area, you need to flee into the mountains, you need to run and hide, how hard would it be for a pregnant woman, or a woman with a nursing baby, to actually have to run and hide? You know, it would be very difficult on her physically to do that. Or even if she does get up into the mountains, she's already uncomfortable enough in her cozy bed. What's it going to be like to have to camp out in the mountains, you know, sleeping on rocks when you're pregnant? So, yeah. You know, there's other verses that say, pray that your flight be not in the winter. He told them to pray that their flight would not be in the winter when this happened. So he's given them permission to ask him not to make that happen in the winter. So that's kind of a cool thing. Okay, I think we're going to start reading the trumpets next week.
In Luke 21:16, and he says, I don't know if this is a smart comment as well, but if some of you should have caused me to put to death, and then in verse 18, you know, he says, but there shall not a hair of your head perish.
That's because we cannot die. We just get out of this body.
He says, and a hair of your head.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. When you dig up an old skeleton and there's nothing but bones, we still hear it. So what he opens the graves to resurrect people, it's still going to happen here. Some of yours already perished, though. I don't know what happened about that. God grows the humans. He also said when those things happened in that generation, wouldn't be passed away until it was all finished.
Right.
Well, we already know in another verse he said that when the abomination of desolation is set up, it will be 3.5 years till the end. He also said, blessed is he that endures, and especially anyone that goes 45 days beyond. I don't know what that means, but I'm wondering if the two witnesses are the 45 days in the world. I don't know. So, a lot of speculation, a lot of things to think about, pray about, ask God to give us a revelation about.
Well, he did say bless, so I kind of want to be...
You want to hang around for me? Yeah. When they were worshiping in heaven, after the rapture, he sang a new song. He sang the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. So we saw that there was still the Jewish, but also now the Christians. So they also joined with the Christians singing the song of the Lamb. That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm.
Didn't it also say that they were standing on sea of glass?
Mm-hmm. When one verse says they're standing on that sea of glass in the dining room sea. Well, we'll hope we're going to start the trumpets unless God takes us back in more details. I think we're going to do a lot of trumpets, so you might want to read trumpets.
We'll read it, but we'll see what we see.
Yeah.